Well, good evening. It's good to see each one of you here. Thank you for coming again tonight, and thank you for your attendance throughout the week. It has been my pleasure to be here and to get acquainted with some of you and some of you to get reacquainted with. After all these years, it's good to make connection again with the Matlocks. And of course, John and Leanne, we had to put up with each other in Turks and Caicos. We ended up in jail, but they bailed us out. And no, not really. We're doing well. We had a great time together. And I'm trying to convince him to stay on the schedule with me again. But he's just not so sure he wants to put up with me again. But nevertheless, we're glad to be with them, trusting the Lord to help you all. Hopefully that something somehow this week that we have said has made some register in your heart and in your mind that God can use to help you along life's way. Praise God. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for the meal today and for your kind words. We appreciate each one of them. Stand together with me. Turn around. Shake somebody's hand. Smile at them. Tell them you're grateful that you're here tonight. Remain standing. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Text will be tonight out of that portion of scripture. I don't know if you like humor, but I do a little bit, you know, and in fact, I like it a whole lot. Have you ever thought about the subject when they say turn over in your Bible to something? Have you ever considered trying to turn over in your Bible? I mean, if I tried to do that, it'd be a hilarious thing, all right? But anyway, I'm glad you turned over there, all right? I was thinking of something else. You know, they say well, the man of the hour is coming, and people wish they would say the man of the half hour. My dad would often say, you're going to be sitting for a while, so please stand. And I thought, yeah, you're right. You're going to be sitting a while. And I had a good teacher, so anyway. 2 Samuel chapter 10 this evening. I spoke to you at the very beginning service on being real. And then on Wednesday night, we talked about those giants and how do you defeat them with God's word. Then I talked to you about having a pure heart. Friday night was you're of value no matter what happens in your life. You're of value to God. Last night we tried to preach to you about sin and its effects and signatures in your life. This morning, grace is sufficient. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to talk to you about winning. About winning. Because you can win tonight. You can make it through. And so we're going to look at that together out of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 10. Again, reading in verse 8. A little story. You probably have read it before. Of course, David had good intentions, sent some delegation to a neighboring king whose father had died, and out of goodness of his heart, they took him wrong and thought he was coming to try to spy out the land to defeat it, which was not the case at all, and they treated his messengers really bad. And they realized that they were in trouble. And so now they've hired some help, and they're going to go against David. And we're going to break in the middle of that portion of scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 10, begin reading in verse 8. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering end of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God and the Lord, do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to minister here this week. We've come to the final service, Lord, and we need your help. We feel like we have, Lord, found your will, and we pray that you would help us tonight to share your word. Please encourage this waiting congregation, and Father, help us above all else to be true to Jesus. In thy name we ask it all. Amen. I'd like to speak to you for a little while this evening on compliments for conquest. And a compliment is something, of course, that completes or makes something else perfect. If you look at it in a deeper way, it's things that are needed to complete the whole. So in order for the conquest to occur and for it to happen, actually, there had to be some compliments along the way. There had to be some things involved that would bring that. And this evening, as I am looking over this crowd and recognizing that this was a youth revival, I realize that there's lots of young faces tonight. Also, I recognize that there's some middle-aged faces. And then there are some of you that have passed that middle age point and have now entered into the senior years. And they say they're the golden years. The only thing golden about them is that you have to spend money to keep your health up, all right? So, but nevertheless, I'm glad that you're here this evening. And I want you to win. I want every one of you to be a conqueror. In fact, the Bible says that through Jesus, we can be more than conquerors. And so this evening, you're looking at a life ahead of you. If Jesus tarries, young people, you're wondering, can I make it through? Will I make it through? What am I going to have to face? And you may not know all the things that you're going to have to face. In fact, you won't. Your life could be upset tomorrow. It's that quick. But I want you to know that you can make it with Jesus. You can end up on the conquering side. And one of these days, more than anything else in the world, I want you to hear, and I want to hear it myself, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Behold, I will make thee ruler over many. But in order for that to happen along the way, and this is a simple little message this evening, there's a lot of ways that people could take it, but I have four things tonight that I want you to look at out of this portion of Scripture that brought the victory, because they did win the victory. They won in a decisive fashion. They conquered the enemy, and you can too. You can win your battles along the way, and there are four compliments along the way that I believe will help you. Let's look at them together this evening. The first thing I want us to notice is that there was assistance. I'm so thankful this evening for those who have come alongside in me and helped me over the years. Now, I am not a good person with my hands, all right? I really am not. I was a banker. You give me a desk and a computer and, a calculator and a pen and those kinds of things. And I'm a wonderful, I guess, I hope I am anyway, manager and supervisor and working with all those kinds of things. Paperwork, shuffler, I can do that. Take the in and put it into the out, and then take the out and put it back into the in. I can do a good job with all of those things. But when it comes to working with my hands, I have 10 thumbs. I really, really do. In fact, one time, it wasn't a whole long time ago, we had a trap in our kitchen sink that was, plugged. And I was able to clean that trap out and put it back together, and it would work. And I like to broke my arm, patting myself on the back for accomplishing such a simple thing. Go ahead and laugh. I know you guys out there think, wow, that's just so easy. And I know, but that's an accomplishment for me, all right? Comes to working on cars and doing a lot of things, I'm just lost. But God's always given me somebody in my church that's good with those kinds of things, whether it be, remodeling and fixing the things that need to be fixed around the church, or working on engines or whatever it may be. And so God's being good to me. That's not my expertise by any stretch of the imagination. So I have needed assistance. I like to be able to pick up the phone and say, hello, my car's not running. Here's what's happening. Can you give me some idea and help me? You know, because I don't know. I'm kind of lost with that kind of stuff. Now, over the years, I've learned a few little things. I know when the red light or the yellow light comes on and says time to change your oil, I know that you got to do that. All right. I understand those things. But along the way, I need assistance. And young people, you may think that you can handle life on your own, but there's no way that you'll end up winning the war and being a conqueror unless you have assistance along your life. Thank God for my parents. I am so glad I was raised in a godly home. I'm so glad for my parents that helped me through many of my very formidable years, both as a child and as a teen, and now even as an adult. Even when I've had to make major decisions in my life, I still call my dad up and I've said, Dad, Mom, here's what's going on in my life. What do you think? I need your advice. I need your help. I need your assistance, because I wanted to see what they had to say. And notice in this portion of Scripture that Joab, even though he was a very talented general of the army, though he was very much involved, you can read through, he was often victorious in his labors for his king David. But it said in verse 11, he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. In other words, we're to help one another. And I'm so glad this evening that God has given you a church family. He's given you a pastor. He's given you each other to work together. And you should rely on each other. Don't be an island by yourself. You're going to need assistance along the way. I'm thankful for people who have gotten up and testified, and the devil been telling me, you're the only one that ever goes through that. Then all of a sudden they get up and they testify to it. And it's exactly what I'm going through, at least in similar terms, maybe not everything specific, but it's very close. And I can say, see, they made it through. God's able to help them. He can help me. And so assistance comes in our lives. We help each other and so forth. But I want you to know, the Bible tells us, it says, Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Philippians 4 says, and I entreat thee also, my true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rely on those around you for assistance. You're going to need their help as you're going through life if you're going to win the war. But the biggest assistance that you need is God Himself. You say, will God help me, Brother Shockley? Is God interested in my battles? Is God interested in the things that I have to face? And to that question, I would say absolutely. It was happening during the Revolutionary War, and they had been pulling a cannon, and it was a muddy day, and the cannon had slid off the road and into the ditch, and the wheels were buried in the mud, and the men were down laboring and so forth, and trying to free up that cannon to get it back up on the road and head off to battle, and they didn't know what they were going to do. They needed another hand. They just weren't quite able to make the push to get it up, when down the road came a man on a horse, and he said, gentlemen, you having some problems? They said, yes, sir, we are. And he said, well, let me help you. He got down off his horse and got down there in the mud and in the dirt and in the ditch with them, and together with his help, they were finally able to get those wheels out of the mud and back up onto the road so that the cannon could go to its proper place. The man mounted his horse, started on down the road. One of the men looked at him and said, do you know who that was? He said, no. He said, that was General Washington himself. He got down in the trenches, in the mud, and helped them to get their lives back on track. Can I tell you this evening, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to need the assistance of the Almighty because the battle's going to be too great for you. You're going to need to say, Lord, I need your help. I want to win this battle. And Lord, I don't see how I can do it. You read the Psalms, you'll find there's times that David felt that way and you cry out to God. But I want you to know this evening that you can make it because your captain, your commander in chief, the captain of the Lord's host is able to come and to meet you where you're at, no matter what you're going through, and help you out of the ditch. The Lord thy God, Isaiah said, will hold thee and hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I'll tell you, I would rather have his help than anybody else's. And the promise this evening of his assistance in the midst of your battles will be a perfect compliment to see you win the war. General William Tecumseh Sherman, which many of you have probably heard of, was a dear friend of U.S. Grant, at least from a military standpoint. And he made this statement one time. They found it in his diary that he had written a letter to Grant, and it was summed up, the soldier's first article of faith was summed up in what he told General Grant. He said, I knew wherever I was that you thought of me, and if I got in a tight place that you would come if alive. Well, I just want you to know this evening, you don't have to worry about our God being alive. He lives forevermore, and when you get in a tight place, you can have the assurance that he will come. His assistance is necessary if you're going to win the battle. Secondly, this evening, I noticed that something that is important if you're going to win, and that is attitude. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched a little one when they don't get their way. You know, they'll go over and put them big arms together. And you try to get them to do something. No. You. No. Now, I didn't have much success at those things. At least they didn't work very long and very well for me. My parents kind of had a way, especially my mother, of dealing with those situations. But attitude means everything. If your attitude this evening is one of carelessness, an attitude says, I don't matter to me, whatever happens, happen. Don't do that. You've got to live a careful life, young people. If you're going to win this battle, you're going to have an attitude that says, I do care about what Jesus wants. I do care about how he wants me to live. I do care about whether I am correct or not. I need to have the right attitude. And Lord, no matter what I'm going through, I'll pay the price. Doesn't matter what others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's anointing. View. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. Your attitude is going to figure into whether or not you become a conqueror. Sir Christopher Wren was a noted English architect, and he was building and supervising the construction of a magnificent cathedral in the city of London. A journalist came along and thought it would be interesting to at least interview some of the workers. So he chose three of the workers from the group of men that were working on this cathedral. And he asked them the question. He said, what are you doing? And the first one replied, said, I'm cutting stone for 10 shillings a day. Okay. The next one answered the question, says, I'm putting in 10 hours a day on this job. All right. Finally, the last one said, I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren construct one of London's greatest cathedrals. There was a marked difference in the attitude of every one of those people. And your attitude this evening toward life, toward God, and toward your battles will mean a very, very important determination as to whether you are a conqueror or not. Both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. All the vultures see is rotting meat, because that's what they're looking for. They thrive on that diet, but hummingbirds ignore that smelly flesh. And then instead they look for the colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. But the hummingbirds fill themselves with what is. They live on that. They seek new life. And they fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it is looking for. Your attitude. Your attitude. How do we know that, Brother Shockley? Because he said, be of good courage. Look up this evening. Now, I heard the name of Archie Atwell Sr. mentioned today while we were eating during the meal, before the meal. I don't remember what, but he was discussed. And I can remember ever heard Archie Atwell Sr. preach one time. I have been good friends with his son, Archie Atwell Jr. We went to school together, and we've worked together over the years since. But they said that Brother Archie B. Atwell would say, when you look down, all you see is defeat. Think about that for a minute. Defeat, okay, but it's a play on words. If you're looking down, all you see is defeat. No wonder Jesus said, look up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Keep your head up this evening. Your attitude really makes. I want to come to a close for this point, but I want to share this illustration, and it's a little humorous. At least it was to me. They had two little boys. One seemed to be the world's worst pessimist, and the other seemed to be the world's best optimist. And so they took the one little boy who seemed to be so pessimistic about everything. They filled a room full of toys and set him in it and shut the door. And they come back later. Every toy was exactly where it had been. He's sitting in the corner crying. And they ask him, they said, what's the matter, son? They said, all these toys. He said, you could be playing with them. And he says, oh, he said, I'm so afraid if I touch one of them, it'll break. So they took the other little boy out and put him in a stall full of manure. And they left him. Now, I found out the other night that that's nothing strange to a lot of you, all right? Some of you were even willing to shake my hand after service. I think Brother Albright said that that's all right. They'd eat a cheeseburger in the barnyard. So they took him and locked him in the stall. They come back later and they heard him singing to the top of his voice, and manure was flying everywhere. And they open the door and here he is with a shovel, and he's shoveling as much as he can and as fast as he can. They said, what's up? What are you doing? He said, with all this manure, there's got to be a donkey in here somewhere. Quite a difference in attitude. Be of good courage. It will make all the difference in the world as to whether you're a conqueror or not. Thirdly, there's going to have to be some action in your life. It says, let us play the men. Now, you say, you girls, what does that mean for us? It means play the woman. All right, stand up straight, square your shoulders back, and say, I'm who I am, and by God's grace, I'm going to get involved in this. I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'll tell you something, you'll never graduate from school by sitting down and doing nothing. The only way I ever got through high school was I had to take the test, and in order to take the test, I had to study. And so I studied at least upon most occasions, when I didn't, it probably showed. But nevertheless, I can remember that in order to get that diploma, there was things I had to do. There was some action that I had to get involved with if I wanted that. When I went to get my degree in college, I had to have some action. I had to do the work that was assigned. I had to write the report. reports, and as much as I hate to write papers, I had to write paper after paper after paper, and it seemed that my instructors just genuinely loved to inflict that pain on me. And so I would write and write and write and write, but I had to do it because I was working toward a goal. I wanted that degree. And I will tell you that it doesn't matter whatever it is in your life that you're going to accomplish, you are going to have to get involved, and you're going to have some action, and you're going to have to do what you're supposed to do if you're going to make it through. And listen to me, you cannot slide into heaven on flowery beds of ease. It is going to be a battle. Now, I'm not talking about a bad battle, because Paul said it's a good fight. And I want you to know that I'm not discouraged tonight. I'm suffering things that other people out in the world are suffering, but I have him, and that makes all the difference in the world. And the end goal is going to be worth it all when I see Jesus. And so I want you to know this evening that I'm willing to fight the fight. I'm willing to work the work. I'm willing to do what is necessary. I may go through some hard times. I may have to fight the devil. There may be some issues in my life, but I'm going to have to pick up my sword and fight the fight if I intend to win. You'll never win sitting down and doing nothing. You're going to have to get involved. Don't be a wimp. Don't be a sissy. Do the job. Face the issue. Do the work. Live for Jesus. Can I tell you, young people, there's going to be times in your life when you don't know what to do. And one of the best things in the world you can do is get down on your knees and spend some quality time talking to the Lord from your depths of your heart. And real prayer is not necessarily easy. God never expected for us just to go to the vending machine and put in our little prayer and push the button and down comes the answer. Sometimes it means that you're going to have to pray now and pray later and pray later and pray later, and you may have to pray for a while. I have prayers that I have been praying for a long time. I have 4 children. The second one is not serving God. He's running from God. But I want you to know we have prayed for him and we've fasted for him and we've asked God and beg God to get a hold of his heart. And I feel assured that God's going to save him. I feel like God's promised me that. But I will tell you, I'm kind of like Dr. Joseph Parker, who was the preacher from the New England states, you know. And one day, one of his parishioners came in, and he knocked on the door of the parsonage, you know. And the wife came to the door, and she said, yes. He said, I need to see Dr. Parker. She said, fine. She said, he's down the hall in his study. You know where it is. And he made his way down the hall, and he opened the door. Here's Dr. Parker. Man, he's just pacing back and forth, back and forth. And he said he could tell he was troubled. And the parishioner looked at him and said, Dr. Parker, what's wrong? He said, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. And sometimes I felt that way. Stick with it. God still answers prayer. But you're going to have to get into the battle. You're going to have some action along the way. It says, let us play the men. It was a dark night outside a very small town. And the fire started inside the local chemical plant. Before long, it exploded into flames. And an alarm went out to fire departments all around the country and that area. They had fought the fire for over an hour, and the chemical plant president approached the fire chief, and he said, all of our secret formulas are in a vault in the center of that building. He said, they must be saved. He said, I will give $50,000 to the engine company that brings them out safely. As soon as the chief heard that, he ordered the firemen to strengthen their attack on the blaze. And after 2 more hours of attacking the blaze, the president of the company offered $100,000 because he recognized that they weren't making the progress that he wanted them to make. And so he said, if the company that'll bring those formulas out safely, I'll give them $100,000. And about that time, from the distance there came the long sound of a fire engine siren, and suddenly another fire truck came into sight. It was the local volunteer fire company that was composed of men entirely over the age of 65. To everyone's amazement, that truck just came barreling down right through the gates and smack dab into the middle of the inferno, and those guys jumped off that truck. They began to fight that fire like they've never fought anything in their life. And within a short time, they beat that fire and got it out and brought the formulas out. Wow. Everybody was amazed. They said, boys, they said, men, what in the world? Said, you were heroes in there. So we've never seen anything like it. And the president of the company came and told him, he said, listen, boys, he said, that was so heroic. He said, I'm going to double the reward. He said, I'm going to give your company $200,000 to use for the fire company and the equipment and the trucks and whatever it may need to be. And then he went to each one of them and thanked them individually and finally looked at him when he was done. He said, now tell me, he said, what are you going to do with that money? The captain looked and he said, first thing we're going to do is fix the brakes on the truck. Maybe they weren't quite as heroic, but when they got in the midst of the fire, they had no choice. And sometimes in the midst of your life, you're going to be fighting the fight. And you're going to have to quit like men and quit like women. And you're going to have to do everything it takes. It's going to require some action in your life. It was on October 16th of 1555. Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were tied to the stake to be burned for their Protestant views and teaching. Latimer turned to his fellow pastor, and as legend has it, he says, be of good comfort, Master Ridley. He said, play the man. He said, we shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out, even at the end of life and facing fiery death. Play the man. Be instant. Take your stand. If you're going to conquer, you're going to have to not only have assistance, you're going to have the proper attitude, but you're going to have to take action. Brings me to my last thought this evening. And people, if you're going to win the war, you're going to need some assurance. I like to think that there's hope in everything I do. I thank God for the times that sometimes it seemed impossible. But God has told me in prayer or given me scriptures. He's helped me along the way, given me hope and so forth. And thank God, He has given us all hope that we can win. He has over and over again. Fear thou not. Notice in the last part of the 12th verse it says, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. I'm encouraged by that thought. That gives me assurance that my efforts, as Paul said, are not in vain. He is not unreasonable to remember my labor of love. It is God's intentions in your life, young people, to do good things for you. I told you the other night, the scripture out of Jeremiah, or he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Good thoughts to prosper you and to give you an expected end. You need to have that assurance this evening that in the end, when it all comes to a close, that there is a positive sense and knowledge of conquest. Well done. You can make it this evening. You can have that. I love the verse that says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I have often contemplated that verse. I like the end of that. It says, his good pleasure. It isn't bad this evening, young people. God's not intending to ruin and to wreck your life. Really, what he wants for your life is what's best. It's his good pleasure that he's working in you for. You say, Brother Shockley, how in the world can I make it through? Do you realize the battle I'm in? No, you might be in the middle of the fire and your brakes have failed and you don't really like it, but you're going to have to work as hard as you can. But God will see you through. He can help you. He will do that which seemeth good unto you. I cannot share with you the myriad amount of times this evening, I don't have time, but over and over and over in my 59 years, God has done good things in my life and has helped me even in the midst of bad things. Remember, Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So he says, we're going to have to have assistance. We're going to have to do our best to get involved, and we're going to have the proper attitude. But here's the assurance that the Lord will do that which seemeth good unto him. Do you think God wants you to lose the battles? Do you think God wants you to lose the war? Absolutely not. He wants you to win. I love to win. And one of the young guys, I don't know who it was, he came up to me the other night, Friday night. He said, would you play volleyball with us? I said, no, son, I'm past my volleyball days. And then he come up, he said, would you play capture the flag? And I'm really past capture the flag days. Say, Brother Shockley, you're past all that. Yeah, that's true. But I like to win any way. I always did. I played to win. It didn't matter. Part of the reason why my knees and ankles are what they are is because when I was a youngster, softball and volleyball and all the things, basketball especially, I can remember some days at GBS and some of those things I can remember. And they probably factored in because of all the times that I messed them up playing. I wanted to win. In fact, it was a while back. It's been quite a while now. I think it was on a Christmas time. We were all together as a family. My boys, I think Connor was too young at that point in time, but my two older boys and my dad and I were playing a game of Monopoly. Don't hold it against us, all right? And if you're familiar with the game of Monopoly, you know that the goal is to own everything and bankrupt everybody else, all right? And I did it. I'm telling you, Brother Albright, I owned every property. I had every dollar. I had all the houses and the hotels, and they had nothing. I beat them so bad that I have never played Monopoly with them again. I almost felt like a sinner. But I play to win, and you're going to have to play to win too. But you have the assurance that you can. God, I preach to you this morning, God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. You can make it. How am I going to do it, Brother Shockley? Your assurance is in him. There was a climber in the Alps that had come to a perilous gap in the ice where the only way to get across was to place his foot into the outstretched hand of the guide. He was told to do this as the guide put his hand down over the chasm. And he hesitated a moment as he looked at the gloomy heights from where he was and the depths to the pointed, jagged rocks below. Seeing the hesitation, the guide said, have no fear, sir. That hand has never lost a man. When you truly commit yourself unto the unseen hand, you can rest assured this evening that that hand has never lost a man. You can have the assurance that you can win. You say, what am I going to do? Can I really trust God, Brother Shockley? I close this evening with this illustration, if Sister Ziegler would slip to the piano. A visitor was once walking along a high part of the shore of the Dead Sea when he lost his balance and he fell into the water. He couldn't swim, and in desperation he began to thrash and do his best because he was afraid of drowning. At last he was exhausted and felt he could do no more and thought he was going to drown, and then he found that something happened. The water bore him up. The water of the Dead Sea is so heavy with salt and other minerals that when he lay still in it, he found that he floated on the surface. I've never been there. I've heard that it's true. He could not drown so long as he resigned himself to the water. Young people, you're going to face the world. You're going to face life. You're going to face all the problems. But be of good cheer if you'll just resign yourself to God. He'll bring you through. You can rest in Him. I remembered finally when I was learning to swim that I could just lay back in the water and just relax completely, and it would bear me up. And if you'll just lay back in God, if you'll just surrender and let Him doeth what seemeth good, He will take you through. We started on Tuesday night by singing this little chorus. I want to close with singing it again, if you would stand with me this evening. I want us to sing, I'll be true, precious Jesus. I'll be true. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. There's a race to be run, and there's a victory to be won. Every hour, by thy power, I'll be true. I want you to win. If you follow the compliments that I preached to you about this evening, you can conquer. Let's sing it together, all right? I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. There's a race to be run, there's a victory to be won. Every hour, by thy power, I'll be true. Sing it one more time. I'll be true, precious Jesus. I'll be true. I'll be true, precious Jesus. I'll be true. There's a race to be run. There's a victory to be won. Every hour, by thy power, I'll